The epistle to be read today for the Feast of the Sacred Heart is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 3. Brethren, to me, the least of all the saints, is given this grace, to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to enlighten all men, that they may see what is the dispensation of the mystery which hath been hidden from eternity, in God who created all things, that the manifold wisdom of God may be made known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places through the church, according to the eternal purpose, which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have both the boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all paternity in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by his Spirit with the might unto the inward man, that Christ may dwell by faith in your hearts, that being rooted and founded in charity, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know also the charity of Christ, which surpasseth all understanding, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. In the Holy Gospel, and taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19. At that time the Jews, because it was the perceive that the bodies might not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that was the great Sabbath day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came, and they broke the legs of the first and of the other that was crucified with him. But after they were come to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers, with a spear, opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he that saw it hath given testimony, and his testimony is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you also may believe. For these things were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled, you shall not break a bone of him. And again another scripture saith, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. That being rooted and founded in charity, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know also the charity of Christ. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the most glorious feast of the Sacred Heart. Now the devotion to the Sacred Heart is a devotion which was reserved for these latter times. Yes, there were saints like St. Gertrude, St. John Eudes, who throughout the history of the Church practiced this devotion. And of course, the main doctrine comes from the revelations of St. Margaret Mary. But as Father Mateo points out, it is not a new doctrine. In fact, he states, the whole doctrine of the devotion of the Sacred Heart is found right in the Gospels. The main object of the devotion is our Lord himself, and in particular, his love for us. And the end of the devotion is love, that is, to make a return of love to the Sacred Heart. And in particular, to make reparation to his adorable heart. The main idea of the devotion, then, is love. The love Jesus has for us, and the love we show him in return. And what do we see on every page of the Gospel? It is simply a story of the heart of Jesus, showing us this divine heart of goodness, love, and mercy. Love is the whole Gospel. The Sacred Heart's love was revealed at Bethlehem, in Nazareth, on Calvary, and it continues to dwell with us in the tabernacle. And to summarize all that Jesus revealed to St. Margaret Mary, it can be condensed into this statement: believe in my love, fear not, it is I, Jesus. Love me, give me your heart, and make me loved. This entire devotion then is based upon love. And the greatest thing in this life is the love of God. And so I ask you, what is true love? If we are to practice this devotion and spread it to others, we should surely have a good idea of what its basic principle is. It is not what the world leads us to believe, that of sentiment or mere feelings. At times, we may even be confused ourselves of true devotion from mere feelings. But we should not allow ourselves to be swayed by a superficial religious sentiment. That type of sentiment that easily moves the heart to tears, but leaves vice intact. True love will act upon our minds and hearts. It will govern and direct our conduct. Thus, true love is a desire to do anything for the one loved. True love is a willingness to make sacrifices for that person. And it is thus acts of the will, doing all for the love of God. As St. John says in his first epistle, love not in word and tongue, but in deed and truth. And as the great orator Cicero states, there are two things that makes us know a lover: that he does good to his beloved, and that he suffers torments for him. And this last, to suffer for him, is the greatest sign of true love. And so, what greater example do we have of one doing this than our Lord himself? God had already shown his love to mankind by his many blessings. But his love for us was not satisfied by just doing good for man. And so, God wanted to show his immense love for us by suffering and dying for us. He proved his love by action. He'd offered his life to save our life, the eternal life of our souls. You want to see true love? Look at our Lord hanging upon the cross. A God wounded, crucified, and dying. Do you know Jesus could have won our salvation without suffering? But no, our Lord refused a life of ease and comfort because he wanted to win our love in return. As St. Alphonsus states, because Jesus loved us so much, he desired to be loved very much by us in return. And therefore, he did everything that he could, even suffering and dying for us, in order to win our love. He did all that he could in order to show that there is nothing more that he could do to make us love him. And this is beyond our understanding. God dying to save his creatures and win our love. As St. Paul states in today's epistle, to know the charity of Christ, which surpasseth all knowledge. And what was the entire earthly life of our Lord but an obsession for mankind? St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi exclaimed, O God of love, Jesus Christ is nothing but love. He is even mad with love, and I will go on saying it forever. How is it then that we do not become mad for love of God? When we see him crucified and dead for us, how is it that we can think of anyone else other than him? And this leads to the second part of the devotion of the Sacred Heart, to make a return of love to him. But how do we do this? How do we love him in return? He himself tells us how. Love me, he says, as I have loved you. We must be willing to do anything for him to fulfill all he wants in his wishes. Just as he was so willing to undergo such a cruel death just to prove his love for us. We must give all we have to the Sacred Heart and to give without reserve, just as our Savior did for us. To do everything for him, with him, and in him. To make our Lord a real part of our life. And also to make the necessary sacrifices to make the First Friday devotions and the night adorations. Now there's a story of a young family that should encourage us to be more generous in showing our gratitude to the Sacred Heart. A certain woman wrote to Father Mateo asking him advice. You see, she decided to do night adoration in her home. That is, each member of the family would spend an hour or more before the shrine of the Sacred Heart. It would go from 10 p.m. Thursday night until 5 a.m. on Friday morning. But she had a small family. It was only her, a servant, and two children. So her servant was going to take the hour from 10 to 11. The children would then each do an hour. And the mother would finish the remaining hours. However, her children complained that they wanted to do some of the other hours with their mother. They wanted to do more than that hour and to do some of the more difficult ones. The mother, however, said that she was worried about their health. But the children persisted. And so she asked Father Mateo's advice. In response, he said to be careful and protect their health, but he counseled that it would be good for them to help out and even do some of the difficult hours. And he even said to her, "Remember that Jesus also suffered." And so he favored the children and advised the mother to let them do more. And so I ask you now, are we as generous as these two children? Are we willing to give up sleep and even bear the cold and some suffering out of love for the Sacred Heart? Let us then, my dear faithful, renew our devotion to the Sacred Heart. Pray to understand and know better the mysteries of the Divine Heart, that you may love him more. And strive to live a true devotion to the Sacred Heart. And do this by living the devotion, by making the first Fridays of each month. And think of ways that you can be more generous to him, and how you can do better to make Jesus the center of your daily life. And share your family life with Jesus. Make him the king of your hearts and your homes. He should be there in all your undertakings. He should be there in the good times and the bad times. And just think how much easier it is to live and struggle, to remain cheerful in spite of sorrows, when Jesus is the center of your hearts and homes. When he is with you, everything is blessed and sanctified. The Sacred Heart has promised so many blessings to his faithful apostles. Our Lord promised to touch the most hardened hearts, to establish peace in our families, and to bless all our undertakings, and to grant us all the graces proper to our state in life. Be faithful and generous then, and follow the Sacred Heart, and listen to his pleas as he says to you, "Love me as I have loved you. Give yourself to me as I give myself to you. in love not in word and tongue, but in deed and truth. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.